joyous adventures to yet another live show from D20 Dames. It is I, Jen Vaughn, your friend, your ranger, and for this episode, I'm also the Dungeon Master. This was performed live in November 2021 at the Geek Curl Conline Experience. It was a lot of fun, and we actually got to close out the whole convention. If you haven't been to Geek Girl Con in Seattle before, either in person or virtual, it's a fantastic show with comics, geeky tea, cosplay, panels, and a ton of tabletop RPG tables. The Dames have been attending Geek Girl Con since we've started the podcast, and we look forward to it every year, no matter the format. Speaking of the podcast, if you do not follow us on Twitter, at D20Dames, you are going to miss out on some interesting sneak peeks of our new show. But that's all I can say. So on to the live show, and you know what that means. The Dames are going to Emerald Forest Adventure Con. Hello, and welcome to D20 Dames at Geek Girl Con. My name is Jen Vaughn. My pronouns are she, they, and today we're doing something a little different, as you can see. I will be the Dungeon Master tonight. Thank you, Kat Kruger. I will be playing Riot Bonezerker as well, a little bit on the side. Riot is a red-winged tiefling ranger whose pronouns are she, her. And she is a ranger. And she's got black-tipped wings and hands. And myself, Jen Vaughn, I am a light-skinned woman with blue bangs, chin-length dark hair, a diaphanous sheer shirt, my favorite color. And I am standing in front of a nondescript curtain, just kind of a beige curtain. So, Brittany, would you like to introduce yourself and who you'll be playing?
Yeah, I would love to do that. Hi, I'm Brittany Liana Gay. My pronouns are she, they. My Brittany self, am a tan-skinned, you can't see my hair. I tried to do a rose gold thing in my hair, but it's a little covered right now because I'm cosplaying as my character Karen, who wears a blue kind of cloak with a fuzzy fur lined hood, which is reminiscent of Karen's wolfy form. I'm also standing in my office-y studio with some art on the walls and my hue light set to blue and green or something. It has a name, I can't remember what it is. Karen is Karen? She's a wood elf barbarian. Her pronouns are she, her. She is the sister of Riot, who Jen described, and she is currently in her regular wood elf form, but she's a Lothari as well. I think that's all the things.
Yeah, sorry, I gave you a lot of things for. All right, continuing in clockwise fashion, Kat.
Hi there, I'm Kat Kruger. I am a fair-skinned, dark-haired woman with a purple streak on one side, asymmetrical hair. I'm wearing a buffalo plaid red and black sweater, and behind me is a very pink fairy tale castle background. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm going to be playing Urk, who is usually an NPC at Emerald Forest Adventure Con. He's an Arakocra, which in this case is sort of like a eagle humanoid, very young, just out of college, multi-jobbed bird person.
Multi-job bird person. Yes, I can see the baseball card now.
You know, have we ever said how Urk is like Kirk from Gilmore Girls? Has that ever been said? Because
we must have in like a Q&A.
Yeah, I feel like we must have said that.
Okay.
Because it feels very apparent.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And Jessica, would you like to describe yourself and Laurent?
Yes, I'm Jess Ross. My pronouns are they, them. My lighting makes me very closely match the beige drapes behind Jen. So I am sort of beige with a black shirt and a gold dotted black wrap around my hair. And I'm in my office. So there's some bookcases behind me with a bunch of TRPG books and a whiteboard with a bunch of stuff magneted to it. And yeah, I got that curtain skin. And I play Lariah, who is an Earth Genasi druid. Her pronouns are she, her, and she has black opal skin. So it sort of looks like rainbow, like shiny rainbow rock. And she usually covers up most of her skin, though, so she doesn't stand out too much, with a big dark purple cape and cool looking armor that's just like the best.
Yeah, honestly, like whatever you're thinking, multiply it by 10. That's how much exactly. cooler it is. So
yeah, it looks like exactly 10 times cooler than whatever armor you would think that she'd be wearing. That's the only description that's possible, because it's just that cool. It's too cool for words.
good. We don't need to paint any more of a word picture. I think we got it there. So dames. So as we mentioned, this is as part of our live show in our family-friendly podcast, available wherever podcasts are free. For every live show, we visit Emerald Forest Adventure Con, also known as EFAC, for those in the know. And this exists out of time, one would say, from our regular podcast. So if this is your first time listening, fantastic, great. We're going to sew up this little story by the end of the night. And then all you'll want to do is go back and listen to all of our episodes, download each one individually. You know what I'm saying? Like, help those numbers out. Okay. So, James, the group of you are walking up to the front of Emerald Forest Adventure Con. You've got your badges on little leather straps. And there is a new system this year when you go up, where you scan this series of boxes, like these rectangles. There's some fat ones, there's some thin ones, and they're all in these different orders. And so you, there's a wizard at the front who's sort of like waving a hand over and then letting you know if you can go into the convention. And as Karen, Lariah, and Riot show up, the wizard sort of passes a hand over and goes, oh, I see, VIPs, and leads you to the side of the building. You're wearing your clothes, you're looking good. Of course you're wearing clothes. Is there anything you are excited to do or see?
Well, at this point now, I want to know about this VIP experience. Okay. I'm a little distracted, but before that, sure.
Okay. No, we'll zoom around. Okay. So at the side of the building, this is normally where people leave their flying mounts. So you see rows and rows of griffins, furry fun boys, some winged horses, some magic horses, a few dragons that have somehow managed to, must have grown up in captivity, who knows. So you walk, the wizard walks you up to a set of four gray pegasi, and that is when Irk steps up from the side of the pegasi to say hello to you as well.
Oh gosh, hello, how are you? I haven't seen you in a group before. I didn't realize you knew each other.
Irk. Yeah. No, I'm Karen. I'm Karen. Ryan's sister. Karen.
Are you dressed as a character named Karen Raven? Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize your costume.
No, this is my first time here at EFAC. What are you talking about, Irk? I don't normally come here. Why would I come without my sister? That's weird.
Yeah, really weird.
Right, elbows Karen. Yeah, obviously, sister, that's why we got these VIP badges. And then Riot's looking over at Lariah like.
Yeah, I can't imagine any sister who would come to EFAC without their sister. What a terrible, rude thing that would be for a sister to do to her sister.
Yeah, no, first time here. This is great. First time VIP experience. Whoa, what's that about? Was that you, Irk?
I'm not that powerful.
And then, like, speaking of power, these four bubbles, the wizard sort of like claps above their head, and four bubbles pop up above the heads of these four pegasi, who look, they're just sturdy, strong, glistening in the summer sun. It's summer. And you see the familiar face of Sildar Hallwinter pop up. It's almost like a magic portal, but it seems like it's a recorded message that he has left for you above these horses.
Sorry, and, costume change. You're all going to see my range tonight. yeah, you see a very relaxed looking Sildar Hallwinter, and his message says, "Dear dames and Irk, as an occasional freelance security consultant at Hallwinter Protection LLC, Ifac has of course reached out to me about working this newer aspect of their show. But instead of that, I'm asking you, the best and the brightest and the burliest adventurers I know, plus Irk, to take this case. Captain Grusney is a dear friend with a sordid past. Not my tale to tell, of course, dear dames, but what I will say is that it was one of the highlights of my adventuring career. Anywho, please enjoy Artist Airy. The Sus Patrol knows where to take you. Ta-ta!
Our VIP passes were actually just like our time-in cards.
Did I just get a new job?
Lurk's looking around confused.
I have a shift soon.
The wizard writes your name and goes, your shift is over. You are needed here. You know. And then looks to the right, looks to the left. It's Artist Airy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What's Artist Airy?
What's Artist Airy?
Why?
Yeah, that's what I asked.
The wizard looks at you, Luraya. Why, it's only the finest skyship that brings the convention to you. Every year we send out several selected artists to go onto this ship and take the convention to small towns and villages because not everyone can make the trek out.
How accessible. That's awesome.
Absolutely. But you are needed there. Hence, and the wizard again gestures to the Pegasi, the Pegasuses, the Pegasini. Pegaroni?
Pegasini. Okay. Oh, so we're going to take the Pegasini up to Artist Airy and then be security there? Is that the deal?
That is not for me to say. Captain Grusni will give you everything you need to know once you get there.
Okay, this is why I don't come with you guys. When I come on my own, I can just, you know, walk around, have fun, do some cosplay. But
yeah, Urxler whispers, "I knew it was you, Raven."
Urk, stop. But later.
Fascinating.
Urk says, "Oh gosh, you don't even know this place is really." Like, I never thought I was going to see it. I've applied so many times to get a job up there. Sometimes I just kind of circle around.
So, Irk, you've known about this thing all this time that we've known each other.
Sounds about right.
And you've never thought to tell your favorite dames.
Oh, gosh. I didn't think it was... Well, you know, it's very, very select. And... you know, you've seen so many things, and to be honest, I feel like every time I show you something, I kind of ruin it. So I don't really want to ruin this for you. Maybe we should just walk separate or something.
Right is giving Luraya like dagger eyes. No, Irk, that's fine. I mean, yeah, sure. You kept this cool thing a secret from us. That's fine. You know, like. Maybe we weren't good enough friends for you to mention it, right, Luraya?
I guess, if Irk doesn't feel like we've been very good friends to him.
Oh no, you're like...
That's just how it is.
My best convention friends.
I don't like that qualifier there, but okay.
Well, and then Ryan goes, I understand if you, you know, you're trying to work it, you know, get a job in that section and you couldn't. Maybe you were embarrassed, and that's okay. Like, I do embarrassing stuff all the time. Like, all the
true.
Time. Usually with witnesses. Maybe not after today, though.
All right. Well, now's your chance, Eric. Let's head up there, right? Let's go see what this is all about.
All right. I don't know why they gave me a Pegasi, sis.
Yeah, right. Because me too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He does the wing thing with you.
Yeah. Wing we cat. Do our secret winged person handshake and foot cake. Yeah. Wing shake. Right. Goes, but I mean, maybe our wings will get tired. I feel like I'm setting someone up for a really bad joke. So.
Great.
Oh, we can just follow.
Eric says, Racy there. And he just like takes off.
Without a Pegasus? Just by himself? Okay. I like it.
Yeah, it takes off, but then the Pegasus has to go after you. It's got a job to do.
It's a liability.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, actually, you're supposed to do this, my job.
Yeah, Riot takes off after. It's like,
like. All right, Lariah gets on a Pegasus and goes after them. Yeah, not racing, though, just going at like a sedate pace.
Oh, Karen's racing.
Yeah. Riot also like yells at Karen and Solar, hey, do you know where you're going?
Up at like to the artist Harry? I don't know. This Pegasus probably knows what's going on.
Yeah, I thought the Pegasus would lead us. No, yeah, okay. Is that not the case?
Well, Irk took off. I just was like, do you know where
Irk is like Irk like goes in the rafters of this place. Like Irk knows all the ins and outs.
Yeah. All right. So the four of you, four of us, plus the Pegasi, so the eight of us are streaking across the sky, like cutting through beautiful cumulonimbus clouds and other words for clouds, stratus clouds, cotton candy, rainbow puffs, mushroom magic clouds, just any kind of cloud name that's a real cloud name. And little water droplets catch on our faces, and it's like the most wonderful moisturizer in the world. And but I will need let's see, Karen and Lariah to roll an athletics check for me just to see how well you're doing on this Pegasus. It's
Fourteen.
Oops. Five.
All right. Well,
that's with a plus four, but we won't do the math.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lariah, you mentioned you were going at a sedate pace to begin with. So, you know, got an even. Karen, you are holding, I would say your arms are around the neck of this Pegasus and your legs are just flying off.
Yes. Yeah. So
you're getting a shoulder workout.
Yep.
As you all cut up past the clouds and you see the like early morning sun on top of this, just this field of clouds. It's beautiful. Possibly something few of you have seen, or at least on a moving steed. And that's when you notice that something is popping in and out of the clouds towards you. It looks a little bit like a, it's got a furry head, sharp teeth, little black nose, and you hear a rawr.
Is it like big or is it like Pegasus sized?
It's big. It's like four Pegasi put together.
Oh.
The Megasis.
Are we whale watching now?
Yeah.
The Ultrasis. Yeah, yeah.
Does Irk have any idea what it is?
Well, why don't you roll a perception check for me? Or nature's, whichever one's better for you.
I'm just wondering, just from his work at the convention.
Mm. You see a leathery wing sort of cut through the clouds.
10.
And then a scaled tail. Irk doesn't recognize it, but he is pretty sure whatever it is, they don't have one on staff.
He's gonna wave to it and say hello.
Beautiful. as you say hello, and you're I assume you're sort of flying towards it too, possibly, or mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it pops fully out of this little cloud bank it was sort of running through or having fun on, and you see one red crested head shooting fire from its mouth, one feline furry face also coming from the neck, and then one braying like a goatish head with a curled horns, and it's coming straight at you at a very fast clip, and you just gotta roll for initiative now. Sorry. I'm playing around.
Is this a three-headed something or other? Is that what you just described?
Yeah, it's a three-headed something or other.
Okay.
Would you like to roll to see if you can recognize it?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
All right, let's do nature or arcana.
Dang. How am I? I'm a wood elf.
19 nature.
Bam! All right.
I didn't rely enough for anything, I'm telling you.
Karen's just been hanging out with squirrels for so long. Everything's a squirrel, right?
It's like, it's definitely, it's not a squirrel. And that's what I can tell you.
Oh, yeah. Good eye there, Karen. Nailed it.
Irk is just saying over his shoulder, I think it wants to play chicken.
Ryan's like, okay, do you want to get on my shoulders? Oh, this isn't swim chicken, it's fly chicken. Okay. Lariah, you recognize this creature as a chimera. So the goat lion dragon headed creature that is known for scooping up prey from the sky, eating, throwing it up, roasting it, and then eating it on the way down. Sometimes letting the body of like another bird or whatever smash to the ground so it's easier to eat. But yes, you recognize it.
What a specific set of knowledge I have about this creature.
I will say, Lariah, you have been subscribing to David Cattenborough's new, I want to call that some sort of like portal videos. So yeah, he's a tabaxi adventurer who, you know, with the British accent. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows who David Cattenborough is. watch out for, don't let it eat you. That's the best advice I can give you right now, is just don't let that thing eat you. I mean, advice to live by, really.
That's a really strange bit of advice, but okay. Irk gives you a thumbs up.
Does Irk have wings and arms, or are his arms also his wings?
Good question.
I think canonically he has wings and arms, right, Jen?
Yes, according to the drawing that we've made of him, wings and arms and just claws for feet.
So can we see and a smile. Can we see Artist Airy? Like, are we getting closer? Yeah. Or
if you scan the horizon, you can see it moving. It's become, you see something that appears to be a ship that is getting smaller and smaller because it's moving away from you. So you're in that, going in that direction, and then perpendicular to you now. Which for friends at home that like math is like this. Parallel, perpendicular.
Maybe we should see if we can like outfly the chimera. Is that possible? If we just like, if we all just like ride super fast toward Artist Airy, maybe the ship is big enough that it'll stop trying to come after us.
Yeah, I'm down to sprint, sprint fly, dash fly. I don't know how much control I have over this Pegasus, but.
You do. You actually have a flying speed on this Pegasus, so which I can also give you in chat, but they have a flying speed of 90 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. So
if we dash, we're moving. Going.
Yeah. Did you want to roll that initiative for me, by the way, that I asked for?
Yes. No, we thought we would just talk our way out of it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we could keep doing that. You're on a horse. You are fine. You know who's not?
Yeah.
True.
I guess, yeah, can we, as we like dash past on our Pegasini, can we just like grab Irk and Riot and, like, drag them along after us?
No, but your Pegasus came with you, right? Like, you could technically jump on them, right? Maybe Karen's just going to say, hey, all right, we know you can fly. Cool. Suck it up. Get on your Pegasus. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to say if you're going to try to get Urk or Riot, it would half your horse's flying speed, your Pegasus flying speed. But
I was suggesting they get on their own.
Absolutely. No, I'm just following up with Jess.
Got it.
And then I'm moving on back to you.
Got it.
Sorry. Is this not what a DM's supposed to do? Do I ignore Jess from now on?
just write a post-it note. Let Jess know later. Okay, just,
I wasn't ignoring you. Brittany had a better point. No. Yeah, Riot's looking at Urk like, should we just
sure. I mean, yes, of course. We want to go to Artist Aerie. I got distracted by this creature.
Cool. All right, which is getting steadily close, I'm gonna say. Also, so
yeah, so
Urk time to go, Urk.
Yeah, Urk is gonna jump on the Pegasus and sort of like wave goodbye to the Chimera, just say,
see you later. Sorry, don't have time to play.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Riot folds in her wings and free falls for a minute with her legs spread out, and then the Pegasus comes up underneath her lips and then grabs her. So I will say with that, yes, the four of you are able to zoom over to Artist Aerie, as a Chimera has a lower flying speed than a Pegasus, but boy howdy, you got real close.
Urk's just such a curious little Aarakocra.
Yeah. You can see it. It's still following you, though. It is not happy. So it's sort of like, you know, it's losing speed. The little flames coming out of the dragon's mouth are like tiny little, you know.
Urk just assumed that the Chimera was like a guest and he was looking for like a lanyard, you know, seeing if it was a VIP.
could have been. Yeah. You never know. Something was late. So, and actually in chat, give me, if you're listening, chat, I hope you're listening, give me a adjective or a noun or a feeling for the name of this skyship while I describe what it looks like. So as you approach Artist Aerie, it is whirling and rumbling up in the clouds or above the clouds. It's got barnacles and algae on the masthead. It's got light green sails, but also posterior sails jutting out from the bottom like fins. Golden large ribbons flutter from the mast and the crow's nest. And on the underbelly of the ship, you see what looks like sort of green frills, almost like grass on the bottom. Okay. Oh, sweet. I got a lot of, oh, okay. Toasty. Okay, I'm going with, all right, we're going with the Flustered Toasty is the name of this ship. So it's a confused cheese sandwich. Beautiful. The Pegasini, they lead you to the top of the ship where you see several people standing by what look like convention setups as well. And you see a fire genasi with a tricorder hat, orange glowing skin, curly red asymmetrical haircut, and a deep maroon jacket with gold trim to match their tricorder hat, standing and sort of like waving and giving a certain whistle to the Pegasini as you all land on the ship. They walk forward. Greetings. I'm Captain Grusne. And they look around. There's Sildar.
Oh, Mr. Hallwinter sent us here. We're his security detail. I'm Urk, by the way.
Oh, yes, Urk. Yes, I know you. Yes, sort of shakes your hand for too long.
Got your resume, Urk. That's good news. That's great.
Oh gosh, you know who I am? Yes, I've been trying to get a job up here. I don't even know how long.
Some would say too long. come with me. And she gives the Pegasini a little opposite whistle. And they, you see them sort of take a little running jump over the edge of the ship.
Can you whistle at them to be careful? Because there's a chimera out there that might eat them.
Captain Grusna looks at you with wide, wide eyes, makes direct long eye contact with you. A what?
Chimera?
That wasn't like planned entertainment for our way up here.
No, no.
They were just like hanging out, floating in the clouds, trying to catch us. It's really fun.
Well, I mean, these are, you know, how people like to say shark infested waters, but sharks live in waters. So this is not really like a, shouldn't be like a big problem, right? Chimeras live in the sky.
Got it.
Yeah.
Unless you think it was after you. I mean, you look like tasty treats to me, so it could have been, you know.
Is she still making heavy eye contact with Lariah?
Yeah, just Lariah.
I don't know if the chimera is after us, but it's in the area, so probably the Pegasini are in danger. And Lariah's at this point, like, looking anywhere but at Captain Griffin. Just, like, looking to the side and down and like trying to get catch Karen's eye and blinking very heavily at Irk.
Irk is completely trying to look into the area, like the main area of the ship.
Well, anyway, the chimera's out there, so why don't we get started on whatever it is we're here for?
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's good to know. Yeah. She makes eye contact and looks around at the rest of you. And it's like, here, come with me to the quarters while I get, while we prepare the tables. She sort of yells at the, what you see are several people standing at tables. You actually recognize them, which we'll go into in a minute. But that's when you notice several skeletons of various races. You see a couple with horns. You see ones with prolonged snouts. You see ones with the bones of wings attached to them. But then they all have flora growing up through their bodies, vines of ringing around the femur, the tibula, the ulnas, flowers expanding out of their thoracic baskets, their rib cages. And they're all wearing a clothing item or two. One would say less that they need it, but more like to look like they fit in with, you know, people, living people. And they take the few bags from you that you have, but then they also start setting up some tables for you. As she waves you over into her the captain's quarters inside the ship. Do you need food, drink?
Yes.
I have the finest in flying squirrel, as well as several cheeses, meats, and something we like to call air jelly. So she sort of just passes you a charcuterie board, I guess.
This is like a sandwich, but it's not a sandwich yet. What is this?
Karen looks over at Raya. Deconstructed sandwich.
DIY, okay.
Yeah, you kind of do your own thing with your hard breads, your hard chets, and you put some cheese on there.
It's called a sharky board.
A sharky board.
Yeah,
I have to make my own.
Because we're on a ship.
VIP? Oh, okay, fun. Well, when in air.
You know that I'm always all about food, except for that time we were in the Feywild. But really quickly, Irk and Lorai kind of like leans and is not really whispering because we're all like in the captain's office at this point, and there's not really much she can do. But just sort of like leans away and is like, so Irk. You said you were trying to get here for years. What do you know about this whole deal? Because so far everything just seems real suspicious in the way that things always do when Sildar sends us somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, I shouldn't be surprised you're not picking up on this. Karen, back me up.
Sildar's suspicious. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all right, Mr. just Hall me Hunter. Then, I guess. Mr. Hallwinter has always been real nice to me. I don't think he's suspicious in any way. He gets me lots of jobs, actually. I was really hoping I would get this job at some point. And look, he actually got me the job.
Yeah, who I is see Captain the- Grisney currently making eye contact with?
Captain Grisney is talking to Riot. So
that's fair.
Yeah. They're comparing cheeses and suggesting that the air that passes through Swiss cheese is better than the air that has not passed through cheese.
An excellent point.
I see the disconnect here. I mean, you love to work. You love working at the convention. We come to the convention to like not work. So I think we just like have misaligned priorities, but like, it's fine. We're here now. But you know, we wanted to explore the convention.
Have you told Mr. Hallwinter this? I'm probably the wrong person to be telling you. You don't want to work for him anymore.
I never signed up to work for him, and many times I have said that this is not why I'm here.
It's hard to say no when there's not really a question involved, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to turn down the work when you just show up and someone hands you a VIP ticket and puts you on a Pegasus and off you go. Like, there was no point in there where I could have been like, hey, Sildar, what if I just get to enjoy myself for once?
Oh, but anyway, you're going to enjoy yourself here. It's real cool.
Anyway, I just wanted to put it out there that I feel like something shady is happening. So just so we're all on the same page, shadiness is occurring here. Something strange is happening. And I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yep. Let's get to the bottom of it. That sounds fun, actually.
Captain Grisna comes back over. Okay, so now that you've all had a deconstructed sandwich, yes. I brought you on because, as you know, or maybe don't know, artist Eri is one of the newer let's see, what do they call it, function or experiments by Emerald Forest Adventure Con. And this is my first voyage as the captain of Artist Eri, and I wanted a little extra security because the last ship burned completely, so that's why I reached out to the best person I know, the strongest, wisest, handsomest, chested Sildar. To ask for help because I just, if there's something going on, then I can't have it on my ship. So, thank you for coming. And you will be posing partially as an artist yourself. All right. She claps, and then some skeletons open up the doors on the other side, and she's like, starts to shoo you out. Do you have any questions? No?
You're good? Yes, so many.
Okay, I will take two, because we are almost to the spires.
We're going undercover? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Because you suspect arson?
I don't know. Well, I don't suspect arson. I know arson. It was arson.
How do you
anyone
know
would know
arson?
It's me.
Could have been an accident.
You it know, could have been an accident. Everyone burned the light.
If anyone would know it was arson, it was you, the arsonist.
And that's going to be it for our show today.
Remember, kids. No. I just want to make sure that nothing happens to this ship. Okay, I've already. She stops herself. I just have to make sure that everyone on here is safe. So, if you don't mind. Would take this job per Sildar. Again, I asked him not for all of you, but I figured that four of you are better than one Sildar, surely.
No comment.
To say, honestly.
Seems like you go way back with Sildar, so we're not gonna, you know, we'll leave our judgment here. Okay, anything else we should know? Like, have you talked to all the people on board? Or there's no one left from the last ship? Is that true? Tragic. Oh my gosh.
Right. There's no one from the last ship. And of the people that, let's see, We have one person. No, yes, one person who is actually, this is their first time ever being at EFAC, and they're one of the artists, because as you know, we have a lottery system for tabling. Not everyone just gets a table because they've always had a table. Like, we have to bring in new talent and get people excited. Not there. That people in these small towns have seen much, but yes. So there is a very new person, the kobold, to the EFAC. So, but everyone else has tabled many times before. So they are mostly, you know, how do you say, they know the score. Oh, yes, I do. There are a couple things I could tell you. Yes.
We're being scored?
No one's being scored. But I will say, you cannot fall off the ship.
We cannot, or we should not.
Well, both. But if you fall off, we have an invisible net that will catch you. So, but it is very painful. So there's that. And okay. Then...
We're not incentivized to jump off. I see. I
exactly.
That's
smart. We don't spend all day pulling you off from the net. The second thing, and she, a skeleton next to her, produces these what appear to be light, fluffy cotton lines of something, and she hands two to each of you, and these are your cloud clamps. So if you do fall off, and for some reason the net doesn't work, you can walk on the cloud. Safety measures, you know?
Okay.
So I would suggest that you put them on, though. Your feet.
These are shoes?
Yes, they will disappear as soon as you put them on.
Cool.
And you can tug them off and they'll reappear. She shows you when she's got on her little boot.
Laura puts them on immediately.
Yeah.
Did not realize she was afraid of heights until someone told her she might fall off this flying ship.
Into a painful net?
Yeah.
Listen, if this goes well, I can upgrade the net. You see, there's something for everybody here. So. All right. So she sort of like signals that she is done speaking to you and like goes to confer with her skeletons. And you walk back outside and you see along the ship, there are several tables. They're sort of like chained down to the ground in a way so that, it, you know, you couldn't, fly off at a moment's notice. And there's some on the little half upper decks as well. And some skeletons are sort of like waving at you for you to come to a table that is up there with... four other people as well, which I am happy to describe to you if that's where you are going.
To our table. Is there no, never mind. I'll go to the table.
Okay.
I feel we're probably also like dragging Urk along because he keeps trying to stop and look at everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. seeing how the place operates, talking to all the skeletons.
Sort of like casually trying to look to see if there's like a specific place in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually. So yeah, as you all look around, you recognize people that you were hoping to see at EFAC. Urk, would you like to describe who you see first?
Mm-hmm. So yes, Urk sees, and when he sees, this individual, he sort of freezes and like tries to stop Lariah and Karen from dragging him along. And he sees it's another Arakocra, but this one looks like a kookaburra. And so they've got like a longer beak and like really floofy sort of feathers. Should I describe where their stand is? What their stand is?
Yeah, yeah. What's on there? Yeah, what do they sell? Absolutely.
They are at a Starbeak's kiosk.
Great. okay, so is this Arakocra
selling merch, or are they also like making lattes and doing fancy art?
It's like one of those like kiosk, like snack kiosks for artists, Airy, basically.
Okay, beautiful. And so somehow the like, line is still too long. So
yeah, and there, but there's also like logo tunics and whole bean like special EFAC coffee there, and you know EFAC logoed everything in collaboration with Starbucks.
Okay, great.
But Irk is just like sort of slowly walking by and just looking at this Aarakocra.
Yeah. I would say then Karen is probably the next one to get distracted while pulling on Irk.
Yeah, as Karen's trying to pull Irk, Karen herself starts to look off. Karen sees a typical artist Airy table with background pop-ups and a bunch of books on a table, and there is a red dragonborn sitting with her feet up on one of the chairs. She's very thin, very tall, very like lithe, and she has a bunch of books in front of her that are called Raven the Rogue. And Karen immediately like stops. That's her. She writes the book. This is my favorite book. It says this is my favorite book. And then she writes it and she illustrates for it. So it's like, whoa, like, it's like,
says, she said, did she write a book about you, Raven?
Oh, Irk, you know how people come in cosplay, you know, they like dress up as other characters. So
yeah, you're dressing up as Karen somebody.
No, I'm not cosplaying as anything today. I'm just myself today because I came with you all. So I didn't want to like go a little too far out there. I didn't know if you guys were into that or whatever. But when I normally come to EFAC, yes, I dress like Raven. So that's how I introduced myself to you last time we met. Listen, I am Karen, but like Raven is the coolest character. She's such a bad, I can't say it. It's too unfamily friendly, but you know what I mean. Ah, oh, she's so cool. And that is Ariseth. She writes and draws all of it herself. She's incredible, beautiful. And I've really wanted her to make one of those, Jen, what's it called when it's like an alt cover, but like it's, you a can variant? Like get, yeah, you can get like a commission of you like in it.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a, like a blank variant. Yeah.
Yes, worthy. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And because it's Raven the Rogue, it's made out of a good paper. I'm just going to say that for anybody that knows comics.
Like, sounds that, good.
Yeah. Riot's like sort of like clutching your bicep, like, oh my gosh, like we had that tattered, blood soaked copy as a kid, but this is like, oh, I mean, this person's like not much older than us, are they?
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Yeah. That's just pure talent.
Mm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we'll have to go over there and, you know, spend some money, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
That wasn't code for anything. I just...
Oh, wait, was it? Okay, never mind.
No, like, we like this person. We're not going to steal anything. Okay, so you see Ariseth of the famed Raven the Rogue book series. And last but not least, Lariah, who's always, you know, eyes on the prize, also then notices something in their peripheral vision that makes them stop.
So Lariah sees the booth for Smoke and Shade, and sitting behind the booth is a dragonborn who has like decorated her own scales in like tons of different colors. And she, in front of her, like at her booth, has every color of paint you could possibly imagine, and like racks and racks and racks of like flowers and different herbs and things, spices and things like that. Because she's a druid who uses like the plants that she grows to make her own paints, and then uses her like fire breath to like refine them in a certain way. So they're just like the best paints of all time. And her name is Matilda.
Matilda.
Because I grabbed my Matilda mug when I was making hot chocolate earlier.
That's right. Wonderful. Okay. So there's, you all see like creme de la creme, these artists, these people that you wanted to see, they're all in one place. So you don't have to go far. after possibly you solve, if there's anything to solve. So you
nothing just, to see here.
Yeah, sorry, I'll just circumvent that sentence. Okay, as you walk up the little half stairway to the half deck, and that is where you see an orc standing at their table with a series of copper, they appear to be tin types of some kind, like with little illustrations on them, as well as paper, and they're holding some paint. You see a small red-haired human. I don't know why everyone has red hair, I guess, or red scales in this, but and I say red with like and like half white, so it's like, you know, it's very cute. Human woman, and she has a series of these long fabric knit scarves, as well as some cowls, and is in the middle and just sitting and watching and like just not even looking at her needles. And then a half elf standing next to a pile of bones, and they just like very like glasses on. They don't look like they're like they make no. They don't look at you. They don't even looks like they're frozen. And then a small kobold, a little pink kobold, who is mixing, who has these little glass jars with like a bunch of small, what appear to be spices in them, and a big old bag of vegetable crisps as well. And it was just like, oh, hey, welcome. We were wondering where the other table was, because it's real hard to get in. The kobold says, and the skeletons are like pointing to this empty table and waiting for you to pull out your wares or for whatever you will have to make.
Are we sharing a table as like a group?
Yeah, it's like cool. A group, yeah.
Cool.
The table's big enough. Don't worry. It's not like a weird situation where you're like stacked or something.
Irk pulls out some torches.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Should we have thought about this? Are we like a company? Are we like a printing press? I've got bones.
We're a curio shop.
Ooh,
because I've got tons of painted rocks.
Yes, rocks, bones,
torches.
Okay, we'll make it work. That sounds great.
It's all about like the process of life and decay and how there's beauty even in death, and shining the light onto the existence of beauty in nature.
Okay.
As you say that, Irk lights a torch above your head.
Exactly, Irk. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I've got you lit.
We should maybe go to the poetry booth after this or something.
Inspiration for Irk.
Oh, yeah. Jess, would you like to describe what Damespiration is for people?
Yeah, Damespiration is our version of inspiration, but we reward it to each other when someone does something that makes us laugh. When Irk just nailed it with just like highlighting Laria with that torch. Just bore that torch like he was born for it.
Born with a twig in his hand.
All right. Anyway, what's your booth, neighbors?
The little kobold looks up to you and goes, "Hi, I'm Matagorn. These are adventure-friendly dip mixes. So you merely need to add some type of yogurt or just something wet, basically. The name of my company is You Go Gert." And she sort of like holds up her little claws. Anyway,
Irk is just staring, doesn't get it.
Can I give Matagorn Damespiration?
You can, but I feel like Brittany's going to give me, Jen, negative Damespiration for all these puns. Anyway.
You only get a couple and you're kind of hitting the ceiling here.
Okay. Not even playing. And you're okay. Is it because I had some time to think of them? Is that why?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Right. Choose them wisely.
Okay. All right. We're definitely going to have to buy some of these travel dips before we go.
Absolutely. As soon as Matagorn said like dips, Karen is like looking around her bones like, did I bring any money? Oh no. Like looking for coins.
Well, you'll definitely be paid at the end of this. So if you, you know, perfect. Whatever this is, I guess I should say. So the other two, Tristram turns towards you. This is the ogre. And they look at you and they're like, yeah, see, I like to draw things, you know, I like to do adventure parties, you know, like take their little drawing of them and, you know, put them in a situation and people love it. They love to share it. But sometimes people get a little upset because the background will always relate to how one of the adventurers die. But, you know, it just comes to me. You know, I'm just a painter. I'm just an artist. So I can't help it if I'm got a little bit of a touch of the, you know, the ether.
Is it like a premonition? Does it come true?
Yeah, usually. But we don't know which adventure. So you want me to, you seem like a team. You want me to draw you up?
Absolutely.
No.
Karen looks at Laura. Yeah. Karen's like, please, Laura, please.
It's gonna be so cool. Unless it's like, oh no, what if it's just like a ship in flames behind us? Oh no. See, now we need to get it done so that we can know. I'm saying.
If you want to do it, you have to pay for it, and I don't want to see it.
Irk, are you in?
Irk is like torn between the two of you because he's like, Loria's like no, and Karen is yes, and he's just like, kind of trying to fade into the background and then look at his torches.
No one will be mad at you for whatever you choose, Irk.
Well, it would be kind of neat to be a part of your adventuring party, even if it is just a picture.
Okay, yeah, we'll have to get it done.
What if Lariah's like back is turned?
Like one of the fates? What do you mean? Like
just like, you know, in the picture. So it's like maybe she's there, maybe she's
watching
not there.
The destruction happen. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, Tristram goes, we're about to hit the spires, but since we're here all, you know, till the end of time on the ship, I'll finish it up for you after this next one.
I'm sorry, till the end of time?
I mean, it was just a saying, you know, to the end of the time, to the moon, you know.
Okay, so you're not, no one's keeping you here, right?
No, oh my gosh, no, we got contracts.
I'm sorry. Not that I'm trying to solve a mystery or anything.
Oh, is that your business? Your mystery solving?
No. We're a curio shop.
Right. The life and death. I heard. I was dropping eaves, and yeah. I got it. Okay. small red and white haired human is sort of sniffs and just goes, well, I make special scarves that have carrying capacity because I add a little, it's a little scarf of holding, if you will. Not quite as much holding as a bag of holding, but you get double. So you keep your hots in one and your colds in the other. Hmm. Or you could mix and match. It doesn't really matter.
Very cool.
They look beautiful.
Thank you. And they go back to knitting. And then, I'm sorry.
Is there one more? They can go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Glasses.
Yeah, half elf. Yeah. And just they barely turn, they go, Olo, bones, and sort of just point to their table, which is a series of bones with etchings on them, but yeah, they don't look like
more.
Good etchings. Okay. Roll for artistic integrity and you can all tell that they're not very good. It's not what we would say is like you can see what looks like a horse in a boat, but it very much looks like a 5-year-old has done it possibly on the bones. Mm. So you're just like, that's for a certain audience. So, but yeah, they just sort of stand there stern looking around, you think. So with their glasses on. And at that point, the ship has come up to a series of gray rocks. You hear Captain Grusne go, the Scimitar spires. At the top of the spire, you see this sort of cutout where people are waiting very excitedly. And the skeletons put out a large plank And you see some like magical netting going underneath the planks. So you can infer that the net is also coming underneath the plank too to catch anybody. And then they start walking over, holding their money and just going, oh my gosh, like it, they're the people that have been waiting for Artist Aerie to appear. All ages, all sorts. Everyone is very excited. There's not a lot of pushing or shoving because they also had to climb up these spires to get there. Most of them, there's also some, you can see some small griffins bringing up people that didn't want to make the walk. And yeah, so they are walking around and coming up to you at your table. We were calling it Life and Death, Memento Mori, something.
Life and Death, curios. Love cool. That.
All right. So yeah, let's see. Okay. A set of twins walk up to you and they are asking about like, what's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? And not quite pointing everything. But not giving me any time to speak. They're just like, did you make this? No, you couldn't have made it. You're not that good. You don't look like you can make anything like that. So there's a series of, congoers of all kinds, some all nice, right. Some annoying, some that are ready to buy stuff. And roll for me, I guess, performance?
My gosh, I got a natural 20.
Of course. 21. Of course. 4 for Karen.
9 for Lariah.
All right. So cool. Upset. I'm sorry, that was a 9 for Lariah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Irk, your patter is so good. You have such a way with customers, possibly because you've done this for so long, or even as a volunteer. So going behind the table is no big deal for you. You're happy to answer questions. You turn to the others when you think it's something they can talk about. Lariah, you're pretty good, but after a while, you just say, so are you going to get something? Or you sort of just kind of do this with your hands? Or then you do the like subtle, like, you could take our business card and contact us later if you have more questions, but then you just push over like a blank piece of paper because you don't have business cards yet. Karen, describe to me what you do.
I wonder... I wonder if Karen is actually not paying attention and she's looking over the half area and kind of staring off to Ariseth and kind of just like Karen's not working at all.
Karen is actively ignoring any customers.
Yeah, not intentionally. Like, she was very excited. And as soon as they started pouring in, she just got very distracted.
Excellent. Okay. I will say, because you are able to, you're not paying attention to the customers, but you are paying attention, you're looking off to other things. You do notice.
Yes, I get rewarded for not working. This is great.
I know, I've already made a mistake, I can see. You notice nothing. No, I'm kidding. You notice there is a little bit of shuffling behind the table of Luna and Tristram, and they appear to be having an argument, they're in this little area right next to you, so it's like if some people start getting a little too loud, then everyone can hear it and it could affect sales. You hear Tristram go, yeah, we can't help it if Ethel didn't make the cut this time. Like, we're supposed to let new people in, we're supposed to let new people sell their stuff. And or at least that's what I've been told, And Luna's sort of sniffing, just like, yeah, I guess. Is their stuff good though? Do they deserve to be on Artist Aerie? And there's a little bit of this back and forth for a bit as well. So that is what you notice. Mm. The spires, people eventually trickle out. It's been a full day, 8 hours. You all are tired. Because for some of you, this is the first time you've tabled, I would say, a convention. Possibly. I actually shouldn't make assumptions like that. Irk's probably fine.
Yeah, Urk is ready to go. Urk's ready for the after
he's
party.
He's ready for his next job, like next shift or whatever is going on.
Okay. And Captain Grusne, calls the skeletons to pull in the plank and starts sailing the ship to the next destination, the Battered Coast. As you all sort of pack in your tables for the night. Normally at EFAC, you would see people just put blankets over their stuff just so people can't randomly look at it. But here the blankets are weighted, so that way they don't blow off, magically weighted. So your keepsakes, your bones, your feathers and whatnot will be there for the next location, which the captain tells you will be in 2 days' time. So what do you do that night?
How long are we on the ship again? Did anyone say that? 2 days? Oh, anyone concerned? I guess not. It's just
yes,
me.
I've been concerned the whole time. Remember okay. How I wanted to make sure we're all on the same page because something was concerning?
I didn't realize you were going to be here that long. Okay. Oh, and I should tell you, someone named Ethel is mad about not being here. So maybe we dig into that.
All right. And sorry, Jen. You mentioned that there was a first time. Was it that the kobold, or was that the too cool glasses person?
Sorry, you said first time. Oh, yeah, their first time tabling. It was the kobold, Matagorn with the
dips.
Go-Gurt, the dips. Yeah.
Cool.
Just add Gurt. Yeah.
Urk is going to say, oh, that doesn't sound very good. But, you know, at these things, there's usually sort of like gatherings after hours, and maybe we could like talk to people there and maybe actually see some of the people that we wanted to see, but of course question them too, because we're doing a job and we're not just here to meet the people that we want to meet, even though it would be nice.
I don't think he gave me the name, but you see the Kookaburra Arakocra stretching and doing some sort of shoulder rolls, and then flies up to the crow's nest where there is an Arakocra skeleton manning it. And you could follow if you wanted to. There are some people that all seem to be going down into the belly of the ship, where there are some bunks and there is a galley, a kitchen area, and some storage as well.
Urk, are you gonna go talk to your Starbeak's friend?
If you don't mind.
No, I think we should split up and see if we can get some more information about what's happening here. I didn't realize you were gonna be here for that long, so yeah. Let's yeah.
And then maybe we meet back and find, who was it that you said had the discussion about this Ethel person?
Oh, that was Tristem and Luna. They were talking about Ethel kind of being mad that there's maybe a lottery system and they want some new talent in here, and but they didn't make the cut this year. So I don't know, take that for what it's worth. That's all we got so far.
Yeah, there's also that chimera earlier where maybe it was nothing, but maybe someone is like luring chimeras to the ship and setting them on fire. I don't know, can't count anything out.
I forgot about the chimera already.
Yeah. There's also, it's possible this has something to do with Captain Grusne, and we should figure out what did Sildar call it? Her sordid past? Because it also seems like maybe it could be a setup that she's a fire genasi and the ship caught fire. Like someone could be trying to pin it on her. So maybe it's someone who has it out for the captain.
Or maybe she just wanted to see Sildar, because that was weird. Did you see that?
It's also entirely possible she set fire to a ship to try to get Sildar here. Yes, we cannot count that out.
Like, realistically, that doesn't seem right at all, but like,
kind of based on how she was acting.
It sounds like it could definitely be the case.
So gross. Okay.
Yeah, none of us are attracted to Sildar, but that's, you know, what to each their own.
Wait, okay.
Hold on. Brittany can don't say speak, this stuff. Just,
don't speak for everyone when you say stuff like that. Sildar's a very good looking man.
By the way, we did not mention what Sildar looked like earlier when he spoke via those portals above the Pegasini heads, but I believe Brittany always puts it best.
Oh yeah, he's an aging Disney prince. Mm-hmm. Once in his heyday, he was probably the most good looking person on the field, and now he's
the fair field.
Older. The field.
And now he's the most handsome person behind a desk.
That's right, right.
Father to too many children. Oh, okay.
All right, I want to try to talk to the captain to see if there's anyone around who might have it out for her while Ert goes and talks to the other Urukurkra. Who are you going to talk to, Karen?
I think I'll talk to...
Do you need a drink?
It's all those deconstructed sandwiches. I think I'll talk to Tristem and Luna and just see if I can dig a little bit into that Ethel character.
Riot, do you think you want to maybe come up with me?
Wait, Riot's here.
Riot's been very nice and like made sure to go to Starbucks for everybody and like get them stuff they needed.
Oh, did you sit at the table for us when we needed a break?
Yeah, absolutely. How dare you? There was a panel. No, just teasing. It's too small. Yeah, Riot goes, yeah, absolutely. Let's go. And then she just takes off. It's like trying to get the jump on you, Urk.
Urk sort of races with you. He's like, wait.
Okay, I'll let you go first. I'll let you start. No.
It's not, I want to be cool when we go in there. I know I'm not the coolest, but like, well,
you're cool. You're great. What are you talking about?
Well, the Urukurkra I want to talk to, his name is Oos. And we met at Starbucks, and then he got the job here. I haven't seen him in a while. This is a really cool job, right? But they're like super talented. I think they're secretly the artist that's been doing like convention graffiti. I think he's Birdsea.
You think he's Birdsea?
Well, thank you everybody. Good night. No.
Why isn't Urk always in our convention? Doesn't make sense.
Okay, so we act cool. We go up. We're just getting some air.
Yeah,
I guess we're getting air currently. Like the wind is blowing in there. we wanted to see what get a good view for the sunset and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you've spoken to Ooze before, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
okay.
With words, or was it in your mind?
Okay. I can do this.
Okay. The answer. All right. We got it. So we go.
And the Urukurkra. I'm sorry. Oos is standing next to the skeleton Urukurkra, and they're sort of like gesturing. The skeleton doesn't speak, but it's like, you know, can understand, is sort of just like showing and doing some sort of like hybrid of sign language and just sort of like, you know, enjoying the scenery. And Oos looks up and it's gonna backfire. What does their voice sound like, Kat?
Kookaburras are usually Australian.
Okay. So Oos goes, good evening, mate.
Urk just takes a deep breath and says,
hey. Hi. Saw you over there at the it's kind of a real creepy booth, huh?
Hi.
Wow. Okay, Kat, you roll for cool. You gotta roll for cool here. I'm sorry. This is my one chance to go back in.
Roll for cool. I don't even remember what I rolled. Just a d20, right?
Yeah, just get a d20. You could add your charisma to it.
A 16.
Oh, okay. All right, so your sort of staccato, you know, short clip sentences, you know, who's like, ooh, who is this? Like, or, you know, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, you like the little flat whites, right?
Yeah.
Flat whites, but like in a coconut.
Yeah, but you like made art on it, and it was just really, really beautiful. And he's looking into his eyes.
Oh, okay. Ooze is returning. Oh, it's a, you know, art happens twice. No, dang it. happens twice. Once in the viewing. Dang it, Kat. Sorry, excuse me, everyone. Good day, mate. Okay. Good day happens twice. Once in the, no, God. Okay, so Ooze just drops and goes, hey, I got to tell you, it's kind of rough keeping this accent up. I do it to sound cool at Starbucks and I get bigger tips, but it's, I'm sorry, I just have a common accent.
Oh no, your voice is great.
Oh, you think so? It's okay like it is?
Yeah, you're great.
Okay, well, please don't tell anybody, because
no, between us.
Yeah, just between, it's our little secret.
Yeah,
but
so, what happens at EFAC stays at EFAC, right?
Absolutely. I was gonna say art happens twice, once in the doing, once in the viewing. So the fact that you enjoy the latte, and I notice how you sip and rotate and sip and rotate so that the image sort of stays the same while you, yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it. So thank you.
I actually came up here because I was wondering if well, this is my friend Riot, and we're sort of here. I'm tabling, if you can believe it. My torches.
I mean, I can. You've worked this show for so long.
Yeah, I finally got in here. You know, I'm surprised that you. You are here. I'm just speaking all over my little bird tongue now. We're wondering, I heard something that was really terrible, that the last ship, somebody like set it on fire.
Oh yeah. I don't know what happened. I do know that after what happened to that, we had to revamp all the Starbeak's equipment in case it was something that we had done. But the investigators were unable to find what happened. So, I have another secret too.
Okay. And he kind of like leans in a little bit closer.
And he just goes, I'm just kidding. You smell great. So I just kind of wanted to get a little whiff.
Oh, gosh.
And also, his Riot is just like kind of like silently flapping next to them because he never got in and is sort of just like slowly sinking down. Kind of like, okay, and we will cut to, let's go to you, Lariah, on your quest to speak to, I believe, Captain Grusney.
Mm-hmm. So, Captain Grusney. You mentioned that you were certain the last ship was arsoned. Why?
Is that how that works? And that was the word?
No, it's not, but okay. Anything else was going to take too long. how do you know that the last ship was arsoned?
I'm not sure if it's arsoned, but these ships are, I mean...
The flustered toasty is my ship, but it is rigged with so many different safeties that the only way that you could have a fire that burns is if it was intentional and you, after you've taken down several of the wards. So that is how it must have happened.
Hmm.
I check these wards every night. I make some of my skelly buddies, they have to check it too. So
is there anyone on the ship or that you've interacted with lately that seems suspicious to you or that seem like they might be out to get you or anything like that?
Out to get me? I mean, no.
And not in a fun way.
I know what you mean. There's a, it's, I mean, they're trying to gouge me price-wise, you know. I'm trying to get a little tin type of me, but actually I already know how all my skeleton buddies died, so it's sort of a, oh, why would I do that? It would just be me. I'd be the one dying. So, but yes, I will say, I don't think, no one has been, there hasn't been any, I would say, like, no, sorry, I just, she's... She's also doing a little bit of drinking of some adult juice, but just kind of like, I don't think so. I didn't get a lot of jobs after a thing happened in my past. So I have to get this right, you know?
Can you tell me about the thing in your past?
Are you trying to persuade?
Sure.
Okay, I'm gonna roll for that.
Even though I have negative charisma.
Exactly why I asked you to roll that. No.
Yeah. 13.
Yeah, okay. You got it. Yes. So it's how I know Sildar. One could say in the past, this ship was more like a getaway ship for heists. And I was the driver, and my crew, they got a powder on them when we were perhaps liberating some jewels from a certain place. And the speed at which I drove, flustered toasty, they also caught on unbelievable fire. It was powdered fairy fire, and I could not put them out. So I turned myself in to a Sildar. Was very dashing back. Like, you wouldn't have known it, but he used to wear a leather vest. And a little green ascot. But I turned myself in after they all died, and after I spent some time paying for the heist crimes, I came back, got my ship, and they were all still here, ready for me to be their captain.
So that's your skeleton crew is your...
Yeah, yes, that's what they are called, yeah.
Yeah. There was nothing else. There was no other way to say it. Your skeleton crew is also your crew before being skeletons. You get what I'm trying to ask.
Yes, we've been friends for a long time.
Okay.
From the cradle to the grave and then beyond their graves. Yes.
So is it possible someone from your past, like maybe someone who wants revenge because of all these deaths or someone who wants revenge on a past heist could be after you trying to set these fires?
Well, you know, it could be. It could be. And she gets up and walks behind her desk. There's a couple tapestries, excuse me, multiple tapestries and maps on the wall. And she does a little knocking on behind one of them. And then the little compartment pops out. She's like, because I forgot I never turned in one of the jewels.
It happens.
It happens.
Ain't that just the way?
Yeah, yeah.
And oh, look, an extra jewel.
Yeah, and they did the wrong accounting. Sildar, you know, he sees a pair of fluttering eyelashes, and then there's just, you know, he can't help it. So he might have missed it and never found it. So yes, So it's possible, yes, that the some people could be looking for this gem. And it's sort of a purple gem with a fiery pink center. Sort of looks like it's glowing. And it's sort of like a, I would say it's cut in like a sort of a semi-circular shape, but it's still got like the rough little facets, like a low poly video game. No, I'm kidding.
What kind of gem is this? And follow-up question, is it the kind of gem that might be able to start a fire?
It is a birdstone. So it can call the morning. You know, it can hasten the rising sun, but you can only do it like once a year. So, you know, you try not to use it too often, or you can't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it possible that there's still some of that like powdered fairy fire somewhere that could start a fire?
I mean, I certainly clean this place, but if you're asking if we should do another sweep, then absolutely.
Yeah, maybe let's work on doing a sweep of that just to make sure that there's no chance of a fire starting accidentally.
All right. And then she leans against the desk and like crosses her arms. So am I still a suspect or just a little lower on the list now?
Yeah, I don't think you would set your own ship on fire, especially not with your own crew on it and your fancy gem.
The fancy gem you've never seen. And she like, you know.
A hypothetical gem that you may or may not have had here at some point in the past and would like to keep intact for sentimental value.
You're trying to hold this over me now.
No, I'm trying to agree that it doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Sildar does not do this sort of humor. He's very straightforward, you know, straight shooter. So
I'm very much of the mindset that this is not my business.
Ah, yes, I like that. Yes. What business? Exactly. All right. And then with that, we'll move on to Karen, who I believe was going down to the galley.
Yeah, looking for the tablers, Tristram and Luna.
Yes. All right. So they are sitting at a table. There's several benches and tables for people to sit at and eat. And they've got like wooden bowls and stuff out in front of them. And there's like, you know, steam rising off of it. And they are just about to take a bite when you come over. And they're like, you know, put the spoon down. And Tristram goes, hey, how'd it go, kid?
I actually was doing more people watching than I was doing tabling, but I think it went well. Lots of characters that came up and it's a successful tabling event. As I am a fellow artist, this is definitely what I'm here for and what I was used to doing.
Yeah, no, I could tell by the cut of your jib and the shake of your boot. You know exactly where to hoot.
Yeah, what? Never mind. Hey, when I was kind of not working, I did happen to overhear you both talking about someone who was kind of like mad about not being able to come this year. Ethel, does that ring a bell?
Luna looks at you. Yeah, Ethel is they're like our fourth, you know, like we have this group and we always knew like what to do. It would be like, you know, Ola would sell him this thing. I would sell him this thing, you know, and it would just be like this perfect line, boom, bing, boom, boom. And like, now we got nothing. Like we got what? We got Mordekaiser, the dip queen. Like, no, like. It doesn't fit with our vibe, you know, like people, you know what happens to dip on scarves? They stain them.
I see. I mean, if you're getting dip on scarves, you're doing it wrong. It should go in your face.
Right. Yeah, but as we know, yes.
I actually think the dips were pretty cool. I didn't actually ask for any samples, which is unlike me, but, I mean, Matagorn didn't seem that bad, but I get it. You have your foursome and you're used to doing all the things and you hang out after and you share a room and I get it. That's cool. Quick question. The lottery system, is this new or has there always been a lottery system here at the Artist Airy?
Luna looks around. Well, I mean, it's not like this is our first time actually getting into the Artist Airy, but we've always had a spot in Artist Alley ground at EFAC. Yeah, that's where we had our group.
I see.
Yeah, so this was like an extra little like hey, you can enter in, and like Ethel entered and didn't get in, and like
And this is Matagorn's first time at EFAC as a whole.
And
they're up here and at the Artist Airy. That's tough. That's really tough. I get it. Is Ethel at EFAC? Like at the, you know, the OG con Artist Alley?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. But like, are their sales good? Probably not. Like, you know, Luna's just really like, and puts the spoon in her mouth, just like spits out chunks of carrot. And little dumplings like, ah! Oh my, and around you, everyone is starting to spit out their stew and their little white small grubs that are inside the stew that are like wriggling out. And they're just like, oh my God. Like,
no. It's
my first nightmare. Oh God.
Actually, I'd probably still eat that, but. Wait, what?
Karen looks around. Does she see anything, anyone stick out, or is everyone just panicking on grubs and food?
Panic at the grub galley. Yes. Sorry, Brittany. Everyone is like, people are taking their bowls and like dumping the stew in the little wooden barrel they keep for compost. They're just like, oh, what a terrible, you know, people are knocking on the chef's door. She's like, what is going on?
Is the commotion causing enough of a ruckus that Irk and Little Raya would hear it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You'd hear like people, a lot of spitting, rhythmic sound.
Hey, is anything okay? That's gross. This is gross. But like, has anything like this happened while you've been up here? Like any other weird, like kind of pranky, sabotagey type stuff? I'm asking because, you know, I'm going to be up here for a while and that sounds terrible. And I would, you know, just want to be prepared.
Tristram like takes their little flat cap on their head and like readjusts and like, yeah, we had someone turned the toilets upside down the other day. So if you had to go, you had to, you know, do it upside down, which not the way my plumbing works. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Well, sorry, you know, not me personally, but you know, just,
I mean, don't knock it till you try it, but
yeah, right.
Okay, so I'm like a little bit obsessed with Ethel sounds cool. Is Ethel like, can you describe Ethel, like what their disposition is like? And
okay, this Tristram and Luna like look at you and just go, are you a cop? Sorry.
No, cop. That, no, I'm an artist.
Are you a warden?
No.
Oh, yeah. You keep saying artist like you got quotes around it, you know?
Well, I mean, just
like it's a new word. You just
learned. It is kind of new. Yeah, well, you know, an artist, you know, I'm just coming into it. I didn't think my squirrel bones were art until someone said this is cool. And then now, you know, so yeah. No, I'm not a warden. That sounds terrible. I'm just a Karen. I'm just curious, okay? I'm here on the ship and weird stuff is happening, so I want to know more about it, okay? I'm not accusing anyone. I just want to learn about your friend.
If Irk, like, heard, like, a commotion, I think he would eventually try to get down into the area.
Okay. So you show up to the galley that is now covered, the wooden galley that's now covered in a lot of stew spit and maggots. And
Irk will say, oh, wow, it's Grubfest. He's legitimately excited about the...
That, yeah. And Eric Coker would be, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Oos looks at you and goes, Should we grab some grub?
We don't have to play act eating off the ground yet again.
Irk is gonna pick up some of the grubs and say good idea, and then see that Karen is over talking to the other artists and say, did you get some of this?
I am not sure this is supposed to happen down here, and probably I would assume that Captain Grusney came with Loria when they heard the commotion, and she turns to Captain Grusney and says, can you point me to the direction of the chefs? Like, who is responsible for cooking? Is that part of your skeleton crew? Your skele buddies?
Captain Grusney goes, yes, of course. It's one of our best. And she points to the, what appears to be a minotaur skeleton. So like little hooves and antlers and a long bull skull who's just like, looking around and sort of like, you can see them put the spoon in their mouth, but then they really can't taste what they've made. So they're just kind of like, and
but then just trickles down their bow.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little hits the spine, lands on the coccyx, moves on. They're sort of like looking to see like if there's like stuff inside the pot, and they point, at the pot, and they're just like,
Is there any indication that someone has like interfered with the kitchen area? Like, do we see any traces that anyone may have left behind?
Can you do an investigation check for me?
Sure.
I don't know why I said for me. For the story?
No, I cannot.
Okay. Cool. So you look around, you see,
did Tristram and Luna, even though they were suspicious of me, but did they want to provide any more information about Ethel?
They did not. They actually sort of like turned their backs to you when you were like looking at, around and like sort of like were like just talking to themselves, conferring. So they're done talking to you.
Okay. Irk, are you still with Birdsey or whatever the code name
Ooze is? Looks around.
Oh yeah, Oos. Out of character.
Yeah, Oos is still there, and they're feasting on the grubs. But I think Irk also wants to like check them out for the quality of grubs, I guess, like just to see what kind of grubs they are.
Roll for grubs.
I guess he just wants to figure, like, get more information from about the stuff that is spilled all over the place.
Okay, you recognize these grubs as the kind that create that turn into fire beetles once they grow up. So
Irk's is spicy.
Do you tell anybody or
he's gonna say, you just might want to watch out for these ones. They're a little bit spicy. Riot, I think you might like them though.
Ooh, and Riot leans down and just wings one into her mouth, like, yeah. Ooh. And she sort of like does a little cough and like a little bit of fire comes out.
Oh, careful where you point that. Okay, thanks. We're on high alert. Hey, Irk, could you just introduce me to your friend here?
This is Oos. We worked together at Starbeaks, but he's up here now, and you know, I'm an artist now.
Good to meet ya.
Okay, Oos.
Says Oos in an obviously not Australian accent.
You can drop that. It doesn't. We're all friends here.
Drop what?
Okay. So you've been around the convention. You've been around Artist Airy. I'm trying to get some information from someone, but I probably shouldn't have gone and asked their best friends about them. That was stupid. Do you know someone named Ethel by any chance?
Oh, Ethel. Yeah, she's a bit of a troublemaker. And Ooze is like leaning and just like, only you can hear my non-Australian voice. yeah, a bit of a troublemaker. One of those people that, you know, very charismatic. People like to talk to them, but then like they're also the person that ruins opportunities for other. Does that make sense?
Like an instigator kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah. Like they can never just relax. I mean, it's not like they're fighting for anything important, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, it's not about like social change or the climate. It's like they're just being like, you know, well, I used to call her Ethel the Fire Starter, actually.
No, you didn't.
I mean,
literal fires.
Just like she's a pistol, she's a fire starter, you know. Like,
I
you know,
see.
Like, she's got a mouth that won't stop, but like not in like a sexist way, really. Like it was right. Saying like, oh no, what are they doing?
Is she a spellcaster by any chance?
Oh yeah. The only one out of that group. They're all artists. She put spells in a bottle.
Oh.
She actually had a really famous song about it. Uncork it the right way. Yeah, something like that, you know.
Got it. If you could put spells in a bottle. Okay. Was there, I guess I might not know about the fairy dust stuff. Anyone else want to jump in?
Catch you up on everything she learned. Quick catch up all around. We all share all our information.
Did she make anything called like powdered fairy fire?
Are you asking for a catalog? Like, no, I don't have it memorized. Do you know how long it takes to memorize the Starbucks menu? Like, do we secret orders?
You know, the seasonal recipes must.
People are like, I want it to taste like a Twix bar, a mallow bar. I'm like, what's a mallow bar? And they're like, they're from the Forbidden Realm. I'm like, I don't know it. Oh, it's
so thank you, Ooze, for this update. Yeah. It seems like you're clearly very passionate about your drinks, which is fantastic. And I love that for you.
What's happening?
Can you very quickly for me, like she just talks right over that. It doesn't acknowledge that question. Can you describe what Ethel looks like physically? Because we want to make sure that she didn't like sneak onto the ship.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ethel is a human with, let's see, and then tries to draw for you. Like, it's like, okay. Paper is the crema. My hand is the Rosetta. Just like, okay. Like pretending it's coffee. Like, okay. It gives you like a pretty good drawing of a medium height woman, thin, human, with short, close cropped hair. And then the other thing though, she had very, very stunning eyes. They were white, just like a pupil sclera, but white. So,
Have we seen, like, have we like caught sight of Ethel at all since we've been here?
No, you have not.
Can we try to investigate if there are any bottles or like spell ingredients in the kitchen?
Absolutely.
Irk wants to sit down. It's the kobold that's wearing sunglasses.
It is the half elf, Olo.
Irk would like to sit down with Olo.
Mm-hmm. Olo sort of grunts when you sit down.
Hello.
Olo just gets up after you don't say anything. Just starts walking up.
Oh no, I was waiting for your sunglasses. Irk just says, oh, hello there. I noticed that you had a lot of really cool, neat bones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, you know, as an artist myself, wanting to get into this sort of thing, where do you get bones anyway?
Around.
Like, in the air?
No. Under the skin.
Oh, well, no, I'm not offering my bones. I'm just wondering where you get your bones.
Shame. The ground.
Huh. That's really neat. Irk Urk has, I think Urk has like the picture of
Ethel.
Yeah. And he's just going to sort of like put it away. And then as he's putting it away, he's going to drop something from his satchel and bend down and try to peer past the sunglasses.
Okay. To see. So you think that Olo might be Ethel?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Let's see. Spy check. Or Pathfinder. You need to play. Investigation? Yeah. You need an investigation? Don't forget, you also have Damespiration.
I need it. All right, that's better. So first one was a 3, but I got a 17.
Great. Okay, you see, not only do you see past the sunglasses to a set of white eyes, you notice that the tips of Olo's ears don't, elf ears, don't match the rest of their skin.
Urk is just going to let out a little and then look over at Karen and Riot and Lariya as he's picking up whatever he dropped.
I think Urk is choking on grubs, maybe. We should help him.
Everything okay, Urk?
Oh, yes. Everything is totally fine.
Olo reaches inside one of their scarves, because they are wearing a Luna scarf, specially made. Ooh. Pulls out 3 glass vials, throws them on the ground that ignite into fire, and runs the out like up the stairs to go to the top deck of the ship. They know they've been had.
Thorn with Olo so they can't like get away.
yeah, hit me with that. Do I have to beat, or do you?
I have to make a spell attack. Does a 17 hit?
Yes.
All right, I thorn whipped Olo and just like, or not Olo, Ethel, I guess, and just like stop them from moving. I'm not trying to do damage. I'm trying to keep them from getting away. But also there's all this fire now.
Yes. So how long would you say your thorn whip lasts while magical fire is burning around it?
That's a great question. It's not concentration. So maybe it just like, I think maybe once it like pulls Ethel back toward me, it might disappear.
Okay. All right. For the narrative. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So you pull Ethel towards you. She sort of like hits the stairs and like knocks her chin. And then the whip disappears and she is starting to scramble back up. But you would say that you have a, excuse me, and it, you are very close. So you're able to, are you going to follow, pursue,
catch, chase? Before you do, Karen looks at Lariah and says, may I? And reaches out to touch you.
Sure.
It's good, I promise. Karen casts Long Strider on Lariah to increase her speed or her distance.
Then I guess I will go after Ethel.
Figure okay. While you're at it, keep the momentum going, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I'm pulling up all of Ethel's stuff because we're going to solve this mystery? No,
but also there's a huge fire that we need to
Yeah, I think Urk has gone to the kitchen, and because he's got like torch college knowledge, I think he knows how to put fires out. So he's looking for like...
Say that 3 times fast.
What's that?
Torch. College knowledge. Beautiful. Sorry. That's Urk's autobiography. His memoirs. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, so he wants to go into the kitchen and like find like bicarbonate, whatever, and just like get it down on the flames and stop the fire, because mm-hmm. I feel like he actually has the knowledge to put it out.
Okay. Captain Grusina is going to help you, because again, this is her ship. She can't, you know, so you two are going to be putting out the fire. It's Karen, will you be following Lariya and Ethel?
Yeah, might as well. Backup okay. support.
All right. Ethel has also cast Longstrider
on no! herself.
That is poo.
She gives you a wink, Loria, as she too jumps off the side of the ship. Not as she too, but as she jumps off the side of the ship. And you see her appear a little bit further out on the clouds, running from you in the ship.
I'm not about this. Loria is going to cast Windwall in front of Ethel to drag her back.
Okay.
Let's see. It can be up to 50 feet long, 15 feet high, 1 foot thick. So she must make a strength saving throw.
Cool. Does a 5 work?
So I'm going to windwall Ethel back onto the ship.
Okay.
And as soon as she gets to me, Loria is going to grab her and pull out some rope and start tying her to the ship. And also take off her cloud shoes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Ethel's like, get off of me, get off of me. Hey, you don't know me. Like, come on. Like, and she's like struggling. When you did windwall though, you woke up all the Pegasi that were sleeping on underneath the ship on the little grass patches. So now they are rising up in the air, snorting, like whinnying, and like feathers are flapping around. They're not happy. Luna and Tristram run up as well. And are just like, hey, you need to let go of a friend, okay?
Loria, does it seem like she's wearing a wig?
Why don't you try?
I don't want to just yank her hair. So I'm going to go for the ears, which are clearly like a different color.
Yes.
And like yank off one of the fake ears and pull down the sunglasses as she's like tying her off and be like, this is the person who just started a fire down there and who has been causing all kinds of problems on this ship.
And Tristram goes, that's what I thought. I thought I recognized you. Olo talks even less than you've been doing. I knew it. Like there. I can't believe you. And Luna's just like, you're here. Let's fight it. And she's like, should we do something about this one? Is like pointing at Loria.
Are they about to team up against me? Okay.
Well, I guess I should say also Riot is probably coming out too. Just like, hey, does anybody need help? Like, you know, hasn't been doing anything, like watching all the action. But what is Karen doing? Using the college knowledge. But
Karen's like next to Loria being like, no. Okay. Like gang versus gang.
Gang versus gang. Okay. Let's say we each do, I will give you one turn to do something to them and see if you can take down the other two. So I also want to be respectful of people's time. It's a little later.
Then I think Loria is going to cast Wall of Stone.
Wall of Stone. Okay.
And block them off, like separate them all away from each other and sort of like lock them into these like stone walls.
Okay. So you made walls around them, like a little maze?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Luna is throwing scarf after scarf after scarf and then diving into her. You suddenly hear like her voice coming from the same side as Ethel's, and then their two voices, they're now in all the same pod as Tristram, because she cast Dimension Door into the scarf and then used it to magically appear through the other side. So they're now all in one, like trying to push the rocks out and like climb over Scrabble. Karen, what do you want to do?
Karen is going to cast Speak with Animals on herself. And attempt to speak to all the Pegasini that are around. And she'll say, hey, friends, it's cool. All good. Take a deep breath. Lots going on here, but could use your help. Lots of grubs down here, too. The stew turned to grubs. It's cool. It's awesome. So good eating if we can just make sure that these people don't get away. Cool? Are you in?
Yeah. So, like, three come down and sort of, like, just start, like, holding their wings all the way up. They look like almost a painting, like, their heels sort of tap dancing slightly, like above the people's heads, not hurting them, but making sure that they can't come out. And they're just like, like they heard grubs and they're like, we're going to feast tonight. Like they are so excited. So with that, I will say you have figured out who has been plaguing artist Airy. Captain Grosny gives you oodles of money. You get to keep whatever you want from the perpetrators' tables if you want. But now you also know why Ola's bones look terrible too. Like, not lots of great art, if you will. And let's have you each have a one more scene on the flustering toasty. And we'll start with you, Karen, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna spend probably 80% of the time getting up the courage to go talk to Ariseth, and then 20% of the time making a fool of myself, falling over Ariseth. But I do definitely want to get that that commission. Yes. Definitely going to spend some extra coin on that, for sure.
Yeah, and Ariseth loves Karen's vibe, like. Can tell they're nervous, but also doesn't care about anything else in the world. So it's just sure. Like, yes, yes. And then like is writing down, like when Karen's not looking, they start writing down a bunch of details about Karen. Like, there's a new character right here. Yes. And you recognize in the next book that comes out, a yes. character very similar.
3 years later. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, come, a year. They're clearly working at the same
know.
Time.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, and Lariah, what? How do you spend the rest of your, you know, the next day before you take the Pegasini down to actually enjoy EFAC?
Yeah, we'll definitely go visit Matilda's booth and buy some new paint, and even show Matilda some of the rocks she's painted using paint that she's bought from her in the past, and just like talk about how much she loves her paint and talk about like her own, those sort of like compare strategies for like paint making out of plants, and hopefully make a friend and not just be annoying.
Yes. I would even say that you and Matilda start a rock pigment trade where you send rocks you think would look best with her paint and she sends you a new pigment whenever she has one to test.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love it.
All right. And Urk, how are your last hours on the flustering toasty?
I think Urk is probably like, he's wanted to hang out with Oos as much as possible. So he's like, he's probably working at Starbucks. He's taken somebody's shift.
Yeah. Oos is, yeah, beautiful. And Urk and Oos, they work in like, it's like a harmony and melody. So he's frothing the milk. You're replacing the coffee and you're like putting down that 30 pounds of pressure, you know, in the espresso and like loading up the, I just forgot what it's called.
Oh, and I think Urk is also like they're at a special Starbeak, so he's like toasting the beans himself.
Oh,
it's like a rotisserie here.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah, yeah. So yeah, you're like rolling the things in a hot toaster. I'm gonna say so. There's open flames on this. Okay, interesting. There on this ship that didn't want to get a fire. No, yeah, but yeah, and you are wearing like matching shirts and Oos has probably created a special bandana for both of you, and you do notice that it looks quite a bit like Birdsey's line work, but nothing is said about that. And he makes sure to get your home address and sending stone number. And that is the end of our adventure. Trouble on that, I'm teasing. the near melting of the flustering toasty. We appreciate you. Thank you, Geek Girl Con. We hope to see you next year.
Yay! Thank
you. Goodbye. Goodbye. Emerald Forest Adventure Con.
D20 Dames is a production of Misadventure Awaits. Music by Middle Essence. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/D20Dames.
Yeah, none of us are attracted to Sildar, but that's, you know, what to each their own.
Wait, okay.
Brittany can
don't
say
speak,
this stuff.
Don't speak for everyone when you say stuff like that.